Okay, welcome back. Hour number three tonight, and more important information from Mitchell Henderson back with us this evening. His topic tonight is entitled, Sri Lanka is Our Future. And yeah, I think he could pick that. That's a perfect example. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back. Thanks for doing all the work you do. You have a huge following out there now, and you're dialed right into it. Great work.
Well, thank you for having me. Okay, so Sri Lanka is our future. So the sanctions war on Russia is an economic World War III. There are poor nations that cannot compete for the food, medicine, and fuel that make life possible. Keep in mind that petroleum is the starting place for the manufacture of gasoline, diesel fuel, agricultural fertilizers, medications, and even the bottles that medication comes in. Russia controls 40% of the world's petroleum. Most wheat is produced in Russia and Ukraine. Russia has said no to the export of any wheat, and that includes Ukrainian wheat. Most of the world depends on that wheat. The sanctions war is going to make a lot of people suffer. That is everywhere except Russia. There are 70 developing nations that this is from the International Monetary Fund. There are 70 developing nations that will fail this year for certain because of the sanctions placed on Russia, and 37 emerging nations that will fail later for the same reason. And that's later this year, not like later in a few years. It's just that the 70 will go first, then the 37 emerging nations. After they fail, then the developed nations will start failing. Sri Lanka became a failed state because of American sanctions on Russia. All of the suffering and loss you see in Sri Lanka is a direct result of the pedophile Marxist Biden regime and the Satanists that run it and their beyond idiotic sanctions on Russia. In the book of Revelations in chapter 2:9 and 3:9, Christ calls the Zionists the synagogue of Satan. So when I say Satanists, I mean Zionists. I want the nature of their evil to be clear to all. Zionism is a euphemism for Satanism. So the following words are actually synonyms. Satanist, yep. Humanist, Zionist, Marxist, Communist, Socialist, Globalist, Environmentalist, Progressive, Woke, and Democrat. They all mean Satanists. So what is happening in Sri Lanka? There is no food, no medicine, no fuel, no electricity, no running water. There are massive riots, and there are no safe places from the angry rioters. It took less than 48 hours for every store in Sri Lanka to be looted and burned. By the end of 72 hours, every warehouse, even at the ports, were looted and burned. People with something, anything, had their homes invaded by mobs to loot and steal everything. Mobs have gone to rural areas and stripped the farms dry of anything edible. Pets have been eaten. When you walk down the street, you might as well carry nothing because it will be taken from you. Everyone is a target. The police and military are being attacked by the citizens. Politicians are dragged out of their cars or homes and physically attacked by the mob. They burn the politicians' cars and homes. They are burning it all down. Sri Lanka has become a failed state. Sri Lankan society has completely collapsed. At the tipping point when everything just imploded, their inflation rate was at 20%. Ours is at 18.5% right now. And the rupee had lost 60% of its value. We are projected to have the dollar lose 95% of its value by the end of the year. You should look at what is happening in Sri Lanka because it is your future. Hopefully you will have taken some precautions. Does not matter what you have if you cannot keep it. So arming yourself is essential. Firearms are the tools you need to survive. Knowing how to use them is just as important. In Sri Lanka, people are not allowed to have firearms to protect themselves. Gangs and bandits are killing the soldiers and the police to take their firearms so they can exert power over people and take their stuff.
Wow. This is being kept out of the mainstream media, Mitch, you know. We're not seeing Sri Lanka's grief happening. I don't see much at all.
Well, you have to search. I have found some videos. It's sort of like what happens in China. Like people will take the videos on their cell phones and stuff, and then they'll get that out. Okay, but you know, we have the Ministry of Truth that will not let that come in. Okay. So you must be ahead of our society's laggards who think that they don't need to prepare. They will just come and take it away from you. These are people without scruples. They are your neighbors. So I just want to give this for a comparison for everybody out there. So I live in a very rural area. I've lived there for 12 years, extremely remote. People move there to be left alone. I want to tell you about this because it is happening where I live. It will be much worse where you are. Let me give you three examples. The first was a large family of 19 people living on 25 acres in four houses. They have no wells for water, and they have no money to stock up on food. They confided in me that when everything collapses, they will steal water from other people's water tanks. They will attack their neighbors' homes to steal their food. When things get bad, they're going to eat their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they told me this. They're going to eat their neighbors. Okay.
Okay. May I ask a question? Have you heard anything?
Yes.
I should have asked the other night. Validate, verify cannibalism being practiced by some of the Ukes on Russians that they have killed.
I have not heard anything myself about that, but I think that they would do it to their own people.
Because there's
been other places where when things break down, people cannibalize. My father, he was in the occupation of Shanghai after World War II. And what was happening is the Japanese, they used the Japanese soldiers as the police, but what was happening is the nationalists were far away and the communists were coming in, and the city was pretty much isolated and there was no food. And my father watched as Chinese people grabbed little children and cooked them up and ate them. Okay. It was flagrant. It was all over the place. Okay. He had one real fat Chinese guy shot for eating some kids. He had them all hung up in their shop and stuff. So, I've heard these stories before. In another case, a highly respected and active member of the community, a community leader, a woke woman who ran an animal rescue facility for livestock in the area, spoke to her good friend and suggested that when things collapsed, they should kill their next-door neighbors because they had a large stockpile of food. Okay, it's the other woman that confided this in me. This woman had money but did not want to waste it on buying food and supplies when she could just steal it from people who did prepare. During hunting season, hunters on ATVs case ranch homes looking for targets to be attacked and looted in the future. I collect all of this information. Socialize with your neighbors, and over drinks, they will probably confide in you because they think you are stupid for preparing, and they are geniuses because they will let you do the preparation work, then just come and kill you and take your stuff away. They're actually very proud of themselves in this. In the poorest 70 nations, in the next 37 emerging economy nations, it will be hell on earth. Where will those people come? To the USA, of course, the easiest nation on earth to get into. The difference between them and you is that they will have a head start. They will have already experienced everything and will know what to do to survive. Let's look at who has immigrated to the USA. Legal immigrants make up 47 million of our population, so one out of seven people you see in America are not Americans, but foreigners. Of these illegal aliens, 44% are Hispanic, 27% Asian, 18% mixed race, 10% black, and 1% white. Very few white people can become U.S. legal residents. There are 13 million illegal immigrants in the United States. These are illegals now. This is an estimate because most illegal immigrants do not get caught. So there's probably around 39 million illegal immigrants actually in the United States. Of them, 75% are Hispanic, 15% Asian, 6% black, and only 4% white. Only about 2 of 3 people you see in our nation now are natural-born Americans. Our nation is being given away to the foreigners by the pedophile Marxist Biden regime. In view of these statistics, would you agree with the racist, pedophile, Marxist Biden administration that the Great Replacement is only a white supremacist conspiracy theory? Welcome to America, white people not allowed. The only conspiracy is the government's actual conspiracy to eliminate white people from American society. These people are taught at all levels to hate white people. I'm talking about the immigrants. They are taught to hate white people and blame all of their misfortunes on white people. It is official U.S. government policy to teach these people to hate white people. Economically, the Dow Jones Industrials was at 37,000 in January. The U.S. economy run by the pedophile Marxist Biden regime has brought that number down to 31,000 so far, destroying $7 trillion in Americans' wealth in just 5 months. For the past 8 weeks, the Dow Jones has been on a losing streak. It has never been on such a losing streak since 1923. U.S. debt stands at $500,000 per person in the USA, including your babies. Can you ever pay that? Let's compare China's debt with U.S. debt. China's debt is used to build infrastructure and assets. The USA uses debt to destroy assets and is investing in social infrastructure, which is to say it is used to convince your little boy that he is a girl, to teach third graders the joys of anal sex, and to teach white kids that they are reprehensible subhumans that are an incurable disease. China uses debt to make themselves stronger. America uses debt to make itself weaker and may create a bloody civil war in the process. So let's ask where the money is in the world. $37 trillion is in currency, paper money. $90 trillion is in digital money in banks. $73 trillion is in stock markets. $1.4 quadrillion is in derivatives based on only $12 trillion in underlying assets. So what are derivatives? Some people may not be aware, so let me explain it kind of quickly. Say you play the commodities market, and you bet that wheat prices will go up $100 a bushel. Then someone comes along and bets $1,000 that your bet will fail. So a derivative is simply a bet on what the commodities market will do without investing in any actual commodities at all. So it's just pure gambling. The total worth of all things on Earth is $1.4 trillion. That is great news because there are enough assets in the world to pay off the markets for the derivatives that are outstanding. The Wall Street has been working on this since 2008 because back then we only had like $275 trillion to cover the $1.4 trillion in $1.4 quadrillion in derivatives. Okay, making sure that after derivatives collapse, the global elite will own everything on Earth, and we will have to pay them rent for it. Derivatives are a house of cards. It can collapse precipitously. Warren Buffett called derivatives, quote, financial weapons of mass destruction. When that house collapses, it will destroy the world economy completely. You will not even own the clothes you are wearing. The globalist elite will own everything on Earth if the derivatives market crashes. You will own nothing and be happy about it. There will be no running water, food, or fuel for you, and the starving masses will be stealing it from wherever they can get it. If 8 trillion people are starving and unhappy, the riots would kill all of the global elites. The global elites will prevent this situation by slamming us with famine, disease, crime, anarchy, and nuclear war, just like they are openly and apparently doing right now. On May 21st, Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić said that if NATO keeps the war in Ukraine going on for much longer, a fourth of humanity will die of hunger this winter. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock said that there will be brutal global hunger this year. She said Russia made a conscious decision to turn the war against Ukraine into a grain war. There is a threat of brutal hunger. The latest issue of the British Zionist Rothschild Newsweekly, The Economist, says Russia and Ukraine supply 12% of the world's calories, and neither Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan nor India will allow the export of any wheat, rye, barley, or corn. That also means for you whiskey drinkers out here, you better stock up on whiskey now because there won't be anything to make it with in the near future. Global wheat prices have hit a record high. The foremost Zionist philosopher of our time, Noah Yuval Hariri, remarked that, quote, I think the biggest question in politics and economics will be what to do with all these useless people. This could have come straight out of Marx. Karl Marx said that, quote, the production of many useful things will lead to the production of many useless people. Indeed, wasn't the husband and wife more of an integrated team before running water, the wash machine, the dryer, the dishwasher, and the microwave? Now men work more hours away from home just to earn enough money to pay for what is considered essential to buy your life. What kind of partnership is it when the man has to suffer more discomfort to buy his woman total comfort? You will see it when civilization comes crashing down. People will either adapt or people will fall apart. It is best to have a well-tweaked plan. Let me assure you that the plan will fail. The first thing to fail during any battle is the plan. But the plan is the foundation upon which you build contingency plans and deal with changing or unexpected circumstances. So prepare, prepare. Be very careful in how you judge people because you can be horribly mistaken. Let me give you an example. My father was an immigration officer and had to transport two prisoners from Memphis to Cincinnati to be deported to Canada. The immigration officers in Cincinnati were to take custody of the two prisoners and fly them to Detroit to be taken over the bridge to Canada. These men had both escaped from prison in Canada and were wanted. Since they were being deported, an extradition was unnecessary because they were both in the USA illegally. One was wanted for five brutal murders in Canada and the other for writing bad checks. This the immigration officers in Cincinnati knew. One was 6'4", 260 pounds with a scarred face and angry demeanor. The other was a slight man, a milquetoast man with a calm and subservient demeanor, who was polite and courteous. When my father got the two men off the plane and met with the other two federal agents, the two agents immediately went to the big guy and took hold of him, throwing handcuffs and chains on him. My father told them, hey, the big guy just wrote some bad checks. He's looking at no more than a year in jail. This little guy that you are ignoring will take your life in a heartbeat. He kills whenever there is an opportunity, like now. The big guy is very cooperative because he has much to lose. The little guy is going to prison for the rest of his life. He has everything to gain by killing you. The federal officers were skeptical, but my dad showed them the papers on them. Then they were embarrassed by their naive stereotyping. It could have killed them. They were experienced agents, and they were fooled. Okay. So I have personally met and talked to three different serial killers. Two before they were arrested. We call them monsters, but they are the furthest from appearing like monsters. I found them all three to be pleasant, courteous, polite, and non-threatening. Huh. One, I even had drinks at his house. Oba Chandler was a snitch for the police department and customs. Serial killers hardly ever act creepy. They are good at putting you at ease. They can compartmentalize their actions so their sadistic murder self does not bleed into their normal social self. I once picked up Eileen Warnos when I was a vice cop. She had a very good sense of humor and was enjoyable to talk to. However, I had to let her go because she would not commit the prostitution crime in my jurisdiction, and I had to interview a prisoner in jail. I never told her I was a cop. I just told her that I could not drive her and her girlfriend to Orlando and drop them off on the street. I searched for 9 months to catch Bobby Joe Long. He was the last person you would think was evil in any way. He seemed like a nice guy. That is how he got so many hookers to get in the car with him. He was the opposite of creepy. All three were very sadistic killers. For every serial killer known, there is about 100 out there that no one has ever heard of. When I worked homicide, they said that everyone has probably met at least 3 serial killers in their lives without knowing it.
Wow.
Of course, serial killers don't murder everyone they meet. They go to movies and bars. They do what we do until they do what we don't do. Okay.
All right, I get it. Let me add something. I ran across a link on a site the other day, and it said something about red rooms. Red rooms. I didn't know what that was. Red room is apparently a room where they make snuff movies, and the red is obviously alluding to blood. And there was a they read a transcript written by a Russian man, allegedly, who is a serial killer, and he makes money at it. He, on the dark web, which I've never been to, I know what it is technically, but I wouldn't know where to find it, but he actually bragged about having clients pay him $2,000 a month, and they get to watch live snuff performances that this guy pulls off in his red room basement while his family is upstairs in the big house. This is the story. And yes, I don't know if it's true or not, but
it's probably true. When I was on the Vice Squad, they had an organization called the Hands of Death. And they kidnap women off the street to use to make snuff films. Okay. I saw pictures of the snuff. I saw snuff pictures that they had and stuff. They would even go, like, a woman's putting groceries in the trunk of her car. They'd drive by in a van, grab her. She's the next star of a snuff film. And nobody would ever find out what happened to her. Yeah, it's a very short career. So
this guy said also the people that pay per month get to phone in or email in somehow through some secure something and submit their requests on what they would like him to do to the male or female who was being shown the cosmic door, so to speak, during the snuff film. And then he would send little thumb drives to the regular members who didn't pay as much once a month I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was on a regular Google-type site. It was just a story explaining how it worked. Crazy.
Well,
no visuals, of course, just the explanation. Some British guy did it. I think the point I'm trying to make is you have said it all. The average person might meet 3 or more serial killers. I've always tried to tell females out there that there are monsters walking among them, and they never will see it. Monsters among them, and they'll never see it.
As a matter of fact, when I was investigating Bobby Joe Long, I was telling the hookers, take the plate number of the car that your girlfriend gets into. They said, oh, we don't want to turn in our...
Oh, we lost Mitch. Let's see if we can get him back. Okay. We're time for a break here, actually. So take a break and hopefully get Mitch back. Okay. I think it's worth spending just a few more seconds on what Mitch said. Woman loading groceries into her car. A van pulls up behind her. Guy gets out, literally grabs her, throws her in the back in 10 seconds or less, and he's out of there. fake plates on the van, whatever, easy to find. They just take 10 seconds. That's no joke.
No time at all.
Ah, well, your experiences,
I explained to the hookers, they says, well, I'm in the car with a creepy guy. I says, well, serial killers aren't creepy. They act very normal. They put you at ease. That's how they can, they're successful in being serial killers.
Yeah.
I said, creepy guys have to go to prostitutes because that's where they can get sex, okay? So you're more likely to meet creepy guys, but creepy guys doesn't mean that they're going to hurt you. It just means they're lonely.
That's good guidance, yeah. No.
Yeah. That said, if you get a gut feeling about somebody, you should listen to what it is telling you. There's a book by Gavin DeBecker called The Gift of Fear. It is an important read. It will get you over your socially indoctrinated aversion to enforcing your boundaries. Not everyone is susceptible. I've made a list of who is an ally and who is definitely a liability in my community. I've also researched all the gangs in my area. Important in this is distinguishing them by their tattoos. Gang tattoos take the guessing out of evaluating them. Don't sit around thinking about it. These guys have to go. From the moment they meet you, they are thinking about how to manipulate you or kill you. You have no responsibility to give them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, we all want to be good people, but not everybody are good people. Okay, there are people out there that prey upon you.
You know, I honestly think, Mitch, that I don't know what you think of reverse speech. I'm a very strong proponent of it. I think we hear other people talking at the subconscious level, and if we have if we don't like them, I think we're hearing their subconscious in reverse. I think we're hearing it crystal clear. That's what David has always said. You don't like somebody, you got a bad feeling.
I would tend to agree with that because I went to just a poker game in the community, and I sat by a guy that I didn't know, but I got all creeped out by him and stuff.
He was lying.
What happened is he got in a fight and he got kicked off the property. Okay. Yeah. And I had already left by the time that happened. But my gut feeling was correct about him. So going to the war in Ukraine, Russia's international goal to destroy the petrodollar is on course. This is why we keep saying, oh, the Russians aren't doing anything in Ukraine. They're failing and stuff. Well, the Russians are taking their sweet time because we're pouring billions of dollars and Europe is pouring billions of dollars into Ukraine. Russia is weakening us and we're doing it voluntarily. We're playing into it, you know. The American economy is in the tank. The EU has stated that it is going into debt to support Ukraine. Petroleum-producing nations like Brazil, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates have refused to increase production. The world is sick of being bullied by America, and now that we need help to defend the petrodollar, it looks like most of the world stands with Russia and freedom rather than the bullying and enslavement that America offers. This is a serious matter. People in the United Kingdom are starting wood fires in their houses, and many houses are burning down. Scottish power chief Keith Anderson said that millions of United Kingdom homes face no heat this winter. This is millions of homes will not be heated this winter. And the average heating bill in October will be £3,000 per month. That is $3,775 per month. Who can pay that? Okay, very few people. Doing this is an integral part of Russia's World War III strategy. On May 16th, Putin commented that the sanctions on Russia are a weapon against the West. And from now on, the West will be losing its global dominance, both politically and economically. The whole planet is having to pay the price for the West's ambitions and its attempts to retain its vanishing dominance at any cost. UN General Secretary General Antonio Guterres has made clear that the food shortage will not last just this year, but a minimum of 4 years. That's if everything got going again right now, it would last 4 years. The West demands that Russia sends them food and fertilizer. Dmitry Medvedev responded, on the one hand, insane sanctions are being imposed against us. On the other hand, they are demanding food supplies. Things don't work like that. We're not idiots.
Okay. Oh,
unfortunately, the woke leaders of the West are in fact idiots. However, the World Health Organization warned Europe that they have an epidemic of obesity, and a little starvation will make them healthier. They just agreed to a treaty making the WHO responsible for your individual health. Like Marie Antoinette, they respond to the starving masses by saying not let them eat cake, but instead they don't need to eat. Okay. Every day the war in Ukraine goes on, the more weapons and money the West throws into the black hole of Ukraine. The less able economically, politically, and militarily the West will have to exert its unilateral world dictatorship. On the military front, the Russians are taking all of Luhansk province by today and beyond. Yesterday, the Russians had a salient 10 miles wide and 15 miles deep across the Ukrainian Donbass line. Today, Russian troops came from the north to Soledar in western Donetsk province behind the Ukrainian lines in northern Donetsk, and will soon cut them off from all supplies.
Behind the lines. They made it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. The Russian military says the Ukrainian army does not know how to adapt to changing situations. They are spending all of their strength fighting to the last man, and their only orders seem to be to give up no territory. An army that cannot maneuver is an army that cannot gain or maintain an initiative. It does not help that when the U.S. sent the M777 howitzers, they did not send the fire direction control computers that go with them. Using a plotting board and math with a pencil makes for inaccurate fire. The Russians are fixing Ukrainian forces in Kharkiv. This is so they cannot reinforce anyone in the Donbass. The purpose of fixing enemy units is so that you can use artillery and air support to destroy them in place. Okay. Yeah, we probably don't want to give the computers to them because we don't want the Russians to get a hold of them. Okay. So
that's the only logical answer. That's Yeah.
And the Russians are blowing those things away as soon as they get set up anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so NATO is pushing Russia towards nuclear war. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime has said that it is sending anti-ship missiles to Ukraine to sink Russian ships and a long-range multiple rocket launcher system so that Ukraine can kill people within Russia itself. Beware when this happens, because Russia says NATO has gone beyond supplying weapons to Ukraine, are sending weapons that NATO troops will have to operate. You can expect a swift response from Russia. Ukrainian Internal Affairs Advisor claimed that the U.S. is going to destroy Russia's Black Sea fleet. If another ship sinks, it is possible that Russia will declare war on the USA and U.K. Nuke them
both. Could do it.
And see if NATO has the stomach for a land invasion that will destroy Europe. We keep pushing boundaries that Russia has set. Putin is patient. He waited 8 years while the Ukraine refused to live up to the 2015 Minsk Accords. They were UN approved. Ukraine never even took the first step. Instead of a ceasefire in the Donbass, they intensified their attacks and have been fighting nonstop for 8 years, contrary to their promises to the United Nations. Poland has said that they want to invade the Russian Kaliningrad enclave on the Baltic, and Ukraine has made Polish soldiers dual Ukrainian citizens because Ukraine wants Poland to invade Western Ukraine so that the Russians cannot have it. NATO now has 100,000 troops massed in the Baltics and Poland. Massing troops signals an imminent invasion. This foolishness could spark a Russian nuclear-assisted invasion of Europe. The USA and UK are going to start a nuclear war with Russia and try to drag NATO into it. At the West Point commencement address, Comrade Marcus Chairman Milley of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said, the world you are being commissioned into has the potential for a significant international conflict between great powers, and that potential is increasing, not decreasing. China and Russia have significant military capabilities, and they are intended to change the current rules-based order. The technological edge is no longer necessarily in America's favor. Whatever overmatch the USA enjoyed militarily for the last 70 years is closing quickly. I might add that the rules-based order is where the USA makes the rules but never abides by the rules we make. How does he know? Because we are going to make it happen. Okay. So on the China front, China's looking at us dumping all these weapons into Ukraine, and China is also noticed that Taiwan is complaining because, see, these artillery pieces and rocket launchers were supposed to go to Taiwan, and now they're going to Ukraine. So Taiwan's kind of angry about that. They were promised these things. Joe Biden at his meeting in Europe, in Japan the other day, he said the United States will defend Taiwan with its soldiers.
Yeah, and what happened right after he said that, Mitch? What happened after he said that?
The White House had to back him down and say, no, we won't be helping. We'll be helping by supplying arms and stuff. We won't be fighting China in this. So this was important for China because China just heard that, it's like Sun Tzu says, never tell your enemy what you're going to do, but especially never, ever, ever tell your enemy what you won't do. And what we just did is we signaled to China what we will not do.
Well, we said, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
We green-lighted it.
Yeah. Not only that, but we also are not sending, we won't be able to send Taiwan the arms that we were going to ship them now for another 3 years. So China's
3 years.
Like China has
they'll be marching
air invasion of the South China Sea and Taiwan airspace the very next day. A very big demonstration and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Chinese are masters of deception. They have so much going on in China. If you listen to them, there's COVID lockdowns, there's this and that. The economy is faltering. There's fighting within the Communist Party. They're going to try to overthrow Chairman Xi. Chairman Xi had an aneurysm, but he didn't have to go to the hospital or anything. So what is this all about? Why are they saying all this? They're trying to make it look like, well, they just are too busy to invade right now, which is exactly what the Chinese would do. They're not gonna say, hey, we're gonna invade like 2 days from now or something. They're gonna make it look like they just can't invade, and then they'll invade. Because they have to get the element of surprise somehow. Okay. All the stuff that you hear out of China, because I hear on one hand all the negative things about China, about their economy and stuff, but then I hear things on the other hand, okay, that said, well, that's not necessarily true. That's just what they want us to think or believe. So I do have a good source who's a China analyst and stuff. And the bottom line is, he says, no matter what is allegedly going on in China, they're going to invade Taiwan. Okay. This is their golden opportunity. When will they have an opportunity again? I mean, this could make Xi into the next great leader since Mao Zedong, you know, China.
I think in his own mind, he probably already is.
Well, yeah, he put out his own book, which I read. It's pretty boring, actually, but, you know, I've read a lot of communist literature, and it is pretty boring, stuff. I even read a book by Enver Hoxha. He was the communist dictator of Albania. And it's like, what the hell is he talking about? I read his old book, and it was just full of communist
babble.
Jargon.
Babble, I don't know
what it meant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but this is the same thing as reading cultural Marxism. I mean, it's like, let's pull all, everything. It's like nothing is true. Okay. You create your own world and you make it like you want it. There's no genders. There's no this. There's no that, you know. Everything's okay to do, you know. I mean, who would tell you that? Oh, do whatever you like. Do what you please, you know. It doesn't matter, no matter how perverted it is, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people out there just have to, they have to be ready. And I don't know how much, it doesn't matter if you haven't prepared up to this point. You still have time right now to prepare. You know, you can buy canned food. It'll last for a long time, okay? In all types of weather and stuff. You do need firearms because this is a very heavily armed country. And, you know, the guy with the gun is the one who's going to get the stuff, okay? So if you want to keep your stuff, you're going to have to protect it, okay? So you have time to, you know, surely there's some people you've known a long time and that you can trust, and you need to build alliances with them, that you're going to help each other and find out a way how to communicate when you need help. Or even if everything's falling apart in your town, you and your friends have a rally point where you're going to meet out in the countryside somewhere.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you just all exfiltrate to that place and then try to take care of yourself from then. The thing about all battle is basically the same. You know, you have a maneuver and you have a fire team. The fire team is to suppress the maneuver team to turn their flank and overrun their position. This has been war since the beginning of time, okay? It's just what you do. You turn the enemy's flank, okay? And I don't care who the enemy is. You know, it could be a gang. It could be just some local laggards. It doesn't matter.
Sure. No.
You don't want to hole up in some place because your survival depends upon you being able to move and maneuver, okay? If they know where you are, they can concentrate forces on you. If they can't find you, then, well, it's not going to do them much good. And these are lazy people. So how long are they going to look for you? You know, they're going to go after easier targets. So you want to make yourself a more difficult target instead of an easy target. Okay. And you're going to have to realize something also, that if people are coming at you with guns, they are going to kill you, and you must kill them. You don't have, there isn't, I mean, we're human beings. We don't want to kill people. I don't even want to kill anybody. But you know what? These bad people, I've been to murder scene after murder scene. I've been to war after war. These bad people, they will kill you without a scintilla of conscience, okay, to get what they want and stuff. So you have to be prepared for what's coming, you know. I mean, I wish I could explain to everybody what to do in every situation, but it depends on where you live. What's your environment like? Is it flatlands? Is it mountains? Is it forests? Is it open? Is it plains? I mean, you're going to have to adapt to your environment and protect yourself accordingly, okay? But it can all be done. It can always be done. No matter what's happened in human history, no matter what devastation there is, there has been people who crawled alive out of the rubble, and that can be you, okay? If you just remember one thing, never quit, never ever quit, never surrender. If there is anarchy and you surrender, there's no Geneva Conventions. You're going to be killed, okay? That's just all there is to it, you know?
You have to get real. So totally correct. You are 100% correct.
Yeah, so, you know, my goal on this show is to awaken people, as many people as possible, to what's going on, and not just so that they know what's going on, but so they can start taking some action. Listen, if you know, it doesn't matter if you have 100 years worth of food. If you have 6 months of food, in that 6 months, you can buy a guide. Say you've never been hunting or fishing or something. Buy a book on hunting and fishing and buy the equipment that you need and then do it, right?
Yeah.
It's not complicated.
Wow. Well, you have given a lot of people who are very interested in surviving some great information and help. And we'll keep it up here. You can see all and hear all of Mitch's programs up on the homepage, putting them under his columnist section. So do avail yourself of that and pass them around. Thanks, my friend. Talk to you next week, I hope.
I think we'll be here next week. But, you know, you never know when, you see how stupid our so-called leaders are. You never know when they're going to do the next stupid thing, you know? And so.
You got it. All right. Be well. Talk to you soon, Mitch. Thanks. Okay, and that's our program tonight. A lot of information out there. I hope you enjoyed it as much as you can enjoy things like we've heard tonight and learn from it. So we'll talk soon. Take care.